I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the root of the matter. This is a phrase that we use often, and here we read that this phrase comes from the oldest book in the Bible. Did you know that Job was the oldest book in the Bible? A lot of folks think Genesis is because it's the first book, but that's not the case. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and most of us never realize that that expression came from the Bible. But there are several expressions, especially found in the book of Job. For example, you look in verse 20, it says, I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. I thought that came from West Virginia, but come find out it comes from the Bible. I have escaped with the skin of my teeth. And that's a good biblical good biblical statement. But Job is dealing with his friends here. He's talking with three of his friends that have come to question him and to give their opinion as to why he was going through all these difficulties and why severely testing him and judging him and et cetera, et cetera. And in verse number 25, he exclaims to his friends that he's not concerned about death. He's not concerned about dying. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He is telling his friends, listen, the world around me may fall, and the world around you may fall. You may, your life may be crumbling around you, but you can have faith and confidence that it will all work out for God's glory and for your good because your Redeemer liveth. Folks, God's eye never blinks. God never misses anything. There is nothing that you have to deal with in life but what God knows it's there. And you can have confidence that everything is going to work out to God's glory and for your good because your Redeemer liveth. Now, as I read the book of Job and as I try to just discern Job's heart and get a little idea about what kind of man this was, I tell you, I am impressed with Job as a Christian. This guy went through more heartache and despair, but yet went through it with the right kind of heart attitude and went through it with the right kind of reaction. And it's no wonder that at the end of the book, God just doubled everything and blessed him in such a mighty and powerful way. And I was reading this book recently, and I started asking the question, how could Job stand confident after all he had been through? How could he trust God through all of his children dying? How could he trust God through all of his livestock dying and these boils that broke out all over his body from head to toe? And his wife turning against him and telling him that he ought to just go out and curse God and die. And the answer is found in these verses. I think the answer primarily is found in verse number 28, when he said to his friends, why are you persecuting me? Why are you railing on me, seeing that the root of the matter is found in me? In other words, what Job was saying is, I've got the root of the matter straightened out, and as long as I've got the root of the matter right, everything else is going to work out for God's glory and my good. So why are you persecuting me? Why are you coming down on me? Now, what did he mean by that? What did he mean when he said, I've got the root of the matter right? I've got the root of the matter straight. What did he mean by that? Did you ever stop to think of how many sayings just come right out of the Bible? This is one of them. We say it all the time. Let's get down to the root of the matter. Let's get down to the root of this situation. And what we're doing there is we're saying that we want to get down to that which is the basis, that which is the fundamental part of the situation. You see, when you get down to the roots of a plant or the roots of a tree, you are getting right into the very heart of that situation. And that's what Job is saying. Listen, Job says, I'm not concerned about why all this is happening. I don't understand it all, but I'm not going to sit around and quibble about why God is allowing this to happen to me or why I'm having to face these heartaches and difficulties. And I'm not going to argue with the Lord I'm not going to fuss with God about why he's doing what he's doing. He's God, and he can do with me as he so pleases. And the reason that I'm not all upset, and the reason I'm not all out of sorts, and the reason why I haven't gone off the deep end in this thing is because I am straight in the root of the matter. And we need to understand that if we'll just get the root of the matter squared away in our thinking and in our hearts and in our understanding, then we'll be able to deal with just about anything that the devil can hurl at us. The root of the matter. Now, why is the root so important? Well, I think there's several reasons why the root is important. I think, first of all, it's important because the root fixes the plant. You go out here and see these massive oak trees with their huge trunks and their huge limbs and their sprawling branches. One of these hurricanes will come up out of the Caribbean and start sweeping up the coast, and those winds are pounding and that tree is swaying back and forth. And you watch that and you say, man, how in the world can that tree stay upright? Well, it can stay upright because of the massive root system that it has underneath it. It has that root system that digs into the soil, digs into the ground, maybe wraps around some rocks, and it holds that tree into place. That tree is fixed by its roots. And basically what Job is saying is you fellas are persecuting me, but you should not be persecuting me because I'm fixed. I mean, I'm grounded. I've got the root of this matter settled. I'm all right. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to tumble. And when the winds start blowing, they're not going to affect me. They're not going to mow me over. I'm going to keep on standing and doing what God has sent me here to do because I've got the root of the matter settled. Not only does the root fix the plant, but the root also receives for the plant. The root of a tree or a plant receives water and receives the nourishment and the nutrients for that plant. And when you get to the, when you say you're getting to the root of the matter, it means that you're getting all the information you can about a situation. You're getting all the facts about a situation. And what Job says here is, hey, I'm fixed. I'm settled. But not only that, he said, because my roots are dug deep and because I'm in the will of God and in the Word of God, I am receiving nutrition that you know nothing about. I'm receiving substance which you know nothing about. I like what the Lord said to the disciples when they said, Lord, you've got to eat. And he had been winning someone to Christ, to himself. And he said, listen, I don't need to eat. He said, I've got substance for which you know nothing about. And if you are going through the trials and you are going through the heartaches of this life, if the devil has launched his attack against you and you are grounded and rooted in the Word of God, others can look around you and feel sorry for you and pray for you and they can try to offer words of encouragement and whatever else they might do. But listen, if you're rooted and grounded and settled and you're dug into the truth of God and the Word of God, you will find a strength that is unsurpassed in any other source. You've got the root of the matter settled. The root receives for the plant. But then the root also quickens the plant. When spring rolls around, the roots say, let's give some life to this plant. Let's give some life to what's going on upstairs. So what Job, if you applied it to Job in that light, Job is saying, let's get life on this matter. Let's get the reality on this matter. Let's get God in this thing. And brethren, listen, when you're going through the storms of life, and when the trials come, when the heartaches come, and you don't know where to turn or who to go to, you just realize that you've got a God in heaven that will give life to the situation that you're facing. You got a God in heaven that will reach down in love and draw you to himself. And he'll be your heavenly Father, and he will comfort and strengthen and guide you through whatever you may face. So Job says, listen, guys, you shouldn't be persecuting me. You shouldn't be talking about me. You shouldn't be going around here trying to figure this thing out. You just looking at the outside. And yes, It looks kind of bad on the outside. I've lost my family. I've lost my home. I've lost my wife. I've lost all of my belongings and my livestock and my wealth and my riches. Yes, I've lost it all, but that's only what you see on the outside. On the inside, you're looking at a man who's got the root of the matter straight. And because he had the root straight, Job could go through such a trial as this and come out on the other side stronger than what he was when he went in. Now, we got to get the root of the matter settled. The root is by far the most important part of any tree or of any plant. You see, if the root is not right, the plant is not right. If you mess up the roots, then you're going to mess up the plant. Take your Bible and look over at Matthew chapter 13 for just a moment. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus gave a parable. Gave us the parable of the sower in this chapter. In verse number 5, when he was talking about sowing the seed, the Bible says that some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. In the explanation that he gives, verse number 20 says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." So the root is important. And Jesus even taught in this parable that if the root is not right, then the plant is not going to be right. Now it's important that we understand this. If the root is not right, then the plant is not going to be right. It's not going to produce like it's supposed to. Now let's apply this to a couple of areas. Let's apply this principle to a couple of areas of interest. Let's take first of all the matter of salvation. Let's get down to the root of the matter concerning salvation. As I read the Bible, I think there are four things that you must know in the area of salvation. I think that these four things are what we would call the root of the matter. You must, first of all, know that you are a sinner. If you're going to get saved, you first of all got to realize that you're lost. And so the first thing that a soul winner needs to do in explaining the matter of salvation, and if you want to get to the root of the matter, you have got to, first of all, get a person to realize that he is a sinner. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you must, first of all, get someone to understand that they are a sinner before God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10 and 3:23 that there is none righteous, no, not one, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that every person who is ever born and who breathes a breath, every person is a sinner before God. Now, you get down to the root of the matter. The root of the matter is that all men are sinners. Do you realize that everyone who walks the streets of heaven today, or whoever will walk the streets of heaven, must have first realized that they were a sinner before they could get saved? That's right. So, that's the root of the matter. Then, secondly, you must realize that there is a penalty for sin. All men are sinners, and then secondly, you must realize that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is not joining a church. I know folks that want to join a church and think that that's going to be enough to get them to heaven. No, sir. The wages of sin is death, not joining a church. I know folks that want to get baptized. And they'll say, I want to get baptized. Well, have you been saved? No, but I want to get baptized. Why do you want to get baptized? Well, I want to go to heaven. I'm sorry. The wages of sin is death, not getting baptized. Nowhere in the Bible do you read the wages of sin is baptism. Jesus paid the wages of sin for us when he died on Calvary's cross. And in order for anybody to get saved, you must first of all realize you are a sinner, and then secondly realize that the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay your sin debt. Somebody has to pay the wages that you owe. And either you will by faith accept Jesus and let him pay your wages, or you will die lost and you will go to hell for all eternity and you will pay the wages yourself. But somebody must pay your wages. First of all, getting to the root of the matter now, you must first of all realize that you are a sinner. Secondly, you must know that there is a penalty for sin. And number three, the getting to the root of the matter, you must realize that Jesus bore your sins as a substitute on the cross. What is the root of the matter? We're all sinners. What is the root of the matter? There is a penalty for sin. What is the root of the matter? Somebody has to pay your sin debt, and Jesus went to the cross and paid that penalty for you. Oh, listen, you must understand that. The root of the matter is that Jesus is our atonement. He is our substitute. He vicariously, in my place, went to that cross, and God took the penalty that I owe and that you owe and everybody else owes, and he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be the righteousness of God. My friends, that's the root of the matter. You say, well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I don't care what you are. The root of the matter is somebody has to pay your sin debt, and Jesus didn't come to earth and join a Methodist church for your sins. He came and died for your sins. Nod your heads. Do you understand that? You say, well, I'm a Catholic. I was born a Catholic. My parents are Catholic, all right? But Jesus did not come and join a Catholic church to pay the penalty for your sin. He came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. I'm saying church can't save you. I'm saying religion can't save you. I'm saying no preacher can save you. I'm saying I can't save you. I'm saying the Pope can't save you. The only person that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting to the root of the matter. Right here is where a lot of folks miss it. You're a sinner. Number two, there's a penalty for sin. Number three, Jesus paid that penalty. Then the fourth thing you must realize is that you accept Christ by faith. You accept Christ as your Savior. You get saved by faith. Now, what is faith? Well, faith is trust. You trust Jesus. A lot of folks trust themselves. They say, I'm going to earn my way to heaven. No, you won't. You'll always come up short. All of our righteousnesses, Isaiah said, are as what? Filthy rags. Now notice what he said. All of our righteousnesses, that's our good things. Now if the good things that you do are filthy rags, can you imagine what the bad things we must do are? Folks, we're sinners before God. And we can't earn our way to heaven. You say, well, then, preacher, how do I get saved? You get saved by trusting Jesus as your Savior. Your faith must be in Christ, not me, not this church, not the Virgin Mary, not the Pope, not in a man, not in your Aunt Susie, not in Uncle Joe. Your trust must be in Jesus. He is the only way. That's the root of the matter. Now, the question is, do you know these things? They are the root, and if the root is not right, then the plant is not right. Not long ago, I had a fellow called, and he said, can I see you? And I said, of course you can. And so he said, I'll be there. And so he came, he sat down, and we started talking. And I could see right off the bat that this guy was as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. He had it all backwards. And I said, where in the world did you get this theology? And he said, well, I've been reading it in a book. And I said, sir, do you go to church? He said, no, I don't. He said, I watch television, and I listen to the radio, and I read books. I said, you don't go to church? No. I said, you've never been to church? He said, no. I said, well, then let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your for the forgiveness of your sins? And he looked at me and he said, well, I've done a lot of different things. I said, no, you didn't answer my question. I said, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? He looked at me and he said, well, I'm not a bad person. I said, sir, again, you are skirting the issue. You see, folks, you've got to get folks to realize the root of the matter. And when it comes to this matter of salvation, the root of the matter is this. There is only one way to be saved, and that is by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A church can't save you. A preacher can't save you. Your own good works can't save you. And it took me almost an hour to straighten out all the garbage that this man had been fed. And finally, when I got him to understand the root of the matter, then he was ready to accept Christ as his Savior. Oh, how we need to realize that the root of the matter is important. And when it comes to this matter of salvation, it's very important because there are so many people today that are teaching alternative ways to get to heaven. And Jesus said, He is the door. And anybody else that tries to get into heaven any other way other than Jesus is a thief and a robber. And Revelation 21:8 says, thieves and robbers don't go to heaven. Amen. So let's get the root of the matter straight on this matter of salvation. Then let's get the root of let's look at this root of the matter in the area of the church. In the area of the church. I think what we need to understand is the root of the matter in the church is just what we heard tonight from our three Operation Go people. The root of the matter in the area of the church is soul winning. That's the root of the matter. That's the root of the matter. Down in the very center of all that God has blessed here at this church. God has blessed more than anything this zeal that many of you have and have had through the years to go out here and knock on people's doors and ask them about their relationship with Christ. God has blessed that, folks. God has blessed that in a mighty way. When I was pastoring down in West Virginia, down in the Kanawha Valley, I swore, and you probably ain't supposed to do that, but I did. I was convinced. Let me say it that way. I was preaching one Sunday out in Illinois, and so I asked a rhetorical question, and somebody answered, and I said, bingo! And I said, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to say that. So anyway, I was convinced. Let me say it that way. I was convinced when I was pastoring down in the Kanawha Valley in West Virginia. I was convinced that there were only about 3,000 Christians in the Kanawha Valley. And they just went from church to church, you know, wherever the getting was good. When I went out to Illinois and pastored in Joliet, I was convinced that there were only about 1,000 Christians in all of Joliet. I mean, I was convinced there were only about 1,000 and they just went wherever the getting was good. But folks, the root of the matter in the church is winning souls to Christ. If we don't continue to reproduce ourselves, we're eventually going to peter out. We're eventually going to die out. Every year we have folks that move away from here. I don't know how many, but probably in a neighborhood of 25 to 50 folks every year that move away from us and they leave us. Every year we have several that pass away and go on to glory. Every year we lose about 15 to 20 college students. They just go on to college. And if all of this continues to happen, then after a while, after a few years, if we weren't constantly reproducing ourselves as Christians and going out and winning others and telling others and getting others in the church, getting them saved and baptized and growing in the church, we would soon find ourselves going backwards. We would soon find ourselves going downhill, and then we'd be sitting around looking at one another, wondering what the problem is. We need to realize that the root gives life. And the root of the church is winning souls to Christ. There is nothing any more exciting than a new baby. Amen? And that child is born, and we were talking about it last night, and this is the honest to goodness truth. When I first started pastoring, and these gals in the church would have a baby, and the first Sunday they'd bring that baby to church, they wanted to show their pastor their baby. And I never had children of my own, you know. And they were all excited and look, Pastor, and they would take that veil down and I would, oh my soul, where did you get that? That's what I thought that's the ugliest kid I have ever seen in my life. Put that thing in the corner. I always thought babies were the ugliest things. Red and wrinkled and these little blotches all over their faces, and they didn't open their eyes. They couldn't play ball. They didn't talk to you. They just laid there, their eyes closed, slobbering, drooling all over themselves. But Mama would come and isn't he beautiful? And I'd lie right there in church. Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. And I thought, they're so ugly. And we'd get in the car and Karen say, did you see so-and-so's baby? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Wasn't that a precious? Wasn't she precious? Said, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, precious. That means rare, right? But one day Karen got excited and she said, we're going to have a baby. And 9 months went by, and I watched for 9 months as my wife went through purgatory and back. There were times when I started to leave her in purgatory. And she suffered, and she went through such death. I mean, you'd have thought she was dying when she was giving birth. I thought she was dying. Scared me to death. And then after the baby was born, that nurse took him and she cleaned him up. She didn't clean him up real good, but she cleaned him up a little bit. And she wrapped him up in a little blanket and she came over and she said, here, Daddy. And she put that baby in my arms, and through the tears and through the excitement, I looked down into the face of that little baby that was just born, and I could declare that that was the most beautiful child that had ever been created upon this earth. All of a sudden, babies weren't ugly anymore. All of a sudden, they're beautiful, and they brought such joy, and then they grow up. You ever notice that? But folks, there is something exciting about a birth. And there is something exciting about the birth of a new convert. And you want to keep the life in the church. You want to keep the energy in the church. Then you have got to keep the soul winning programs alive and going. You have got to keep the fire burning in that area. Soul winning is the root of the matter when it comes to churches. We can't forget that. Soul winning is the root. It gives life to the church. And we need to pray for God to make soul winners out of us. Pray that God will open doors for us. Come out to visitation on Tuesday night. Get out to visitation on Thursday night if you can't make it on Tuesday night. Get into the Operation Go program as it starts up in January. And be a witness for the Lord where you work. I think one of the reasons that we don't witness like we ought to is because of a fear that we might get stuck. A fear that somebody might trip us up, ask us something we don't know. I want you to know that in the Operation Go program, you will learn those answers. In the Operation Go program, you'll learn how to deal with that, and you'll find yourself with a boldness. I've had several folks come and testify to me. They'll say, Preacher, since I started taking Operation Go, you just can't imagine the boldness. Why, I'd witness to a fence post if I thought I could just get it under conviction. I said, amen. That's what we need. And that program will help you do that. I tell you, it's amazing. We'll have 500-600 out for a picnic and 30 for visitation. It ought to be the opposite. It ought to be the opposite. We'll have 300 out to play softball and 30 out for visitation on Thursday nights. We got to get back to the root of the matter, folks. We'll have a thousand out for a sing or something special, some big program, but only have 30 out for visitation. Listen, folks, I'm not against any of those things. I think those things are necessary for fellowship, and I think they're good, but I'm trying to get you to see the root of the matter. We need to stay with the root of the matter. That's where the life is. That's where the strength is. That's where the stability is. That's where the joy is when we see the root giving life to the plants. We'll rally and march against abortion, and I'm not against that either. I'm against abortion to the core. I'm not against rallying and marching for that. I'm not preaching on that. What I'm saying is that we'll go out and support those kind of things, but then we won't come to visitation and tell somebody about Jesus. That's what's wrong with America, folks. Right there, that's what's wrong with America. We have left the root of the matter. A couple years ago, out in Joliet, the gang wars were on. And you had the Latin Kings and the 2-6 Nation and all the what were some of the rest of them, Dave? What were some of those gang members gangs that were out there fighting each other? You avoided them. You couldn't help. I was going down the street one day and this guy comes running out shooting a gun and boy, you talk about hitting the deck, man! I hit the deck. I tell you, crazy these gangs. They're crazy. And they had a war going on. They were killing one another. I mean, it was all out war over drugs and over turf. And they called me on the newspaper called me and they said, Pastor, we'd like to send somebody by to talk to you about the gang problem in Joliet. And I said, good, bring them on. And so they showed up and this little old guy looked like he just got out of junior high school. And he came in, he sat down in my office, and he said, well, Reverend, Reverend, and I said, whoa, no, not Reverend, I'm no more Reverend than you are. He said, well, what do I call you? I said, Pastor. He said, okay, Pastor, what do you think we can do about all these gangs? And I said, get your pen ready. And he looked at me, he said, well, I said, get your pen ready. I said, because I'm going to start preaching, I want you to start writing. So I started preaching, and here's what I told him. I said, here's what I think we ought to do. First thing I think we ought to do is fire all the liberal preachers. Make them go get a real job. You're welcome. Now, needless to say, my report didn't get in the newspaper. He didn't put me in the newspaper because My solution to the problem was not what he was looking for. I said, you need to fire all the liberal preachers. He looked at me and he said, fire them. I said, yeah, make them go get a real job. I said, then take their churches and get some fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, hellfire and brimstone preachers and put them in those churches and put one on every corner in the city and open the doors and just start preaching and praying the Word of God. And I said, that will take care of the gang problem. If you could get a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing, Christ-honoring local church on every corner of America, that would straighten out the situation. That would get it right. The answer for every need in America is to have a church like this one outdoing the job on every corner of every street in America. Hey, none of our kids in the Carroll Christian schools are a member of the gangs. And I told that guy sitting in my office, I said, not one of our 250 students, not one of them, not one of them is a member of the Latin Kings. Not a one. And he said, well, what would you do if one of them came here? I said, we don't let them in. He said, well, what happens if they recruit one during the school year? I said, we try to get him out, and if he won't get out, we kick him out. Kick him out of the school. You cannot serve two masters, and we're not going to put up with it here. I'm saying the hope for America is the local church that preaches the truth and believes the Bible. Amen? How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that? All right, those of you that just raised your hand, then why won't you join the church and get busy? Huh? I just set you up, didn't I? If you believe that, then why don't you join the church here and get busy? You know I'm telling you the truth. My friends, listen, we're in a mess in society today. We're in a mess in America today. But I want you to know the answer is right here in this book. Job said, hey, we need to get back to the root of the matter. And that's what we need in our country today. That's what we need in our church today. That's what America needs, is for somebody to get back to the root of the matter. America needs to hear that salvation is by grace through faith. America needs to hear that the gospel is the answer that this world is looking for. The root of the matter in the life of a Christian is to be in a good church that wins souls for Christ. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If I lived in Westminster, I do live in Westminster, but if I were you and I lived in Westminster, I'd go to Church of the Open Door. I'd join it first Sunday. I would. I'd join it first Sunday. And I'd be here every time the doors were open. And when Pastor Larry Stainer got up and said, we're going to start Operation Go Up January the 8th, I'd say, I want to be first on that list. I want to do something for God. Folks, the answers can be found in the root of the matter. Job said, you fellas should not be persecuting me. I've got the root of the matter settled. And my friend, I hope you'll get the root of the matter settled in your life. It's time to get the root of the matter settled in your life. It's time to know what you believe. It's time to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason for the hope that's in you. And my question is, do you have the root of the matter settled? How about in the matter of salvation? Are you settled on the root of the matter when it comes to being saved? If you died today, do you know that 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 you'd go to heaven? If you don't know that, you don't have the root of the matter settled. I hope you'll make that settled. Get that settled tonight. Do you have the root of the matter settled in this matter of the church? How about baptism? Have you been baptized since you've been saved? The root of the matter is you get saved and then you get baptized. The root of the matter is, in this matter of the church, that you need to be a member of that church. You need to be an active participant in what's going on and winning souls and doing what you can to reach people with the gospel of Christ. Let's get the root of the matter settled.